Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. In our last program on prayer, we talked about the fact that John 9 tells us God doesn't hear sinners, and the fact that we must meet some requirements if we want God to hear and answer our prayers. And the number one requirement is repentance, and number two is obedience, and number three is faith. The book of James says, "Let him ask in faith, and that faith without works is dead," and that Abraham was justified by works and not faith only, and that we prove our faith by our works. God is speaking about Abraham here, or James is speaking about Abraham here, in James 2, verse 22, where it says, "Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect?" Now, God is saying that by works faith is made perfect, and James goes on to tell us that faith without works is dead. So works makes faith perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Yes, it takes works and obedience to have living faith. James says faith without works is dead, just as dead as an individual dies and has no life in him. Notice what Christ had to say in Luke 17. Luke 17, beginning in verse 5. "And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith." Now here they were wanting to know how to increase their faith. So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." Now Christ is telling them and you and me how to increase our faith. He begins here in verse 7 to tell us. It says, "And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once, sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drank, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did things that were commanded him? I think not." Now notice in verse 10, "So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." And Christ is telling us that if we want more faith, faith to have answers to our prayers, then we just serve more. That is, we do more than what the boss has commanded. We step out in faith and do or serve more than God has commanded. But it seems that most want to do less than what God has commanded, and they want to do less than what their employer has commanded. That seems to be the way that it is with people. Christ is just showing that faith and works go together, and that just as what we read in the book of James, so faith is a vital key to answered prayer. Notice what Christ had to say in Luke 18, beginning in verse 1. Luke 18, beginning in verse 1. "Then he spoke a parable to them that man always ought to pray and not lose heart, meaning that it takes faith to keep praying. Verse 2, saying, in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said in himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me." Now let's think about that. This was an unjust judge that didn't fear God and had no respect and didn't care for man. But he said, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worry me. This widow meant business. She wasn't half-hearted. She didn't hold back. She was persistent in her prayer. Christ is giving us an example here, not to hold back. And he goes on here in verse 6, and he says, "Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said." Now, the unjust judge finally heard and offered help to this widow, answered this widow's request. And this was an unjust man. Now, verse 7, Christ said, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" Now, God being the just judge, the judge of the entire earth, Christ said, "And shall not God judge or avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them?" In other words, you keep praying, you keep beseeching God. God says he is going to hear, and he's going to rise up and avenge you when the time is right. Verse 8 says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?" Now, Christ was wondering, will there be anyone that will be there beseeching God and holding God to his promises? Will there be anyone with the faith to keep persisting and waiting and expecting an answer? Christ is speaking of the kind of faith that won't give up, the kind of faith that's required for answered prayers, and the kind of faith that's required for salvation, for that matter. We have only looked at three requirements for answered prayers, which are repentance, obedience, and faith. Now let's look at a biblical example of answered prayer. There are many, and of course we can't bring out all of them, but we will bring out one of them on today's program. Notice in Exodus 32, beginning in verse 9. Now God was speaking about the nation of Israel here, and he was ready to destroy them, and he was speaking to his servant Moses. God was a little put out with the nation of Israel because they had made them a molten calf, and claiming that to be their God that had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Notice in verse 9 of Exodus 32, "And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Now if Moses had been a carnal man here, he would have taken God up on this opportunity. But Noah was a very converted man. Notice in verse 11 what Moses did. "Then Moses pleaded with the Eternal his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people." Moses goes on to mention to God, and he says, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people." This was an example of the kind of prayer that God will answer. Now, what kind of prayer was it? Was it a selfish, a greedy prayer? Not at all. Moses was concerned about what other nations would think about God. In other words, Moses had deep respect and reverence for God. He was also very much concerned about the people. He wanted the best for them. He wasn't selfish in this prayer at all. He was a man that loved others as himself and loved God above himself. He was truly a very converted man, and that is easily seen in this prayer and other prayers that Moses rendered in the Old Testament. So prayer is very important, and it's very important to come to God with the right attitude in your prayer as well. For if Moses hadn't prayed at this time and on other occasions for his people, then God would have destroyed them, and you and I probably would have never been born. Another important key to answer prayer is let it be a prayer of concern and love toward God and fellow man. That's what Moses did, and many others in the Bible, as well as Christ. But much too often, we ask to receive upon our lust. Notice what James has to say about this in James 4, beginning in verse 1. And I'm reading from the King James Bible here. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask. James is saying that if you do ask, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. In other words, a selfish, a lustful, a greedy prayer, God will not hear and God will not answer. So if your prayers aren't answered, ask yourself, was it one pleasing to God? Was it one honoring and in respect to God and of concern for others? Or was it a lustful prayer? That brings us to point number 5, which is found in 1 John 3, beginning in verse 17. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now that applies to faith too. Let us not just have faith in word and in tongue, but let us have faith in deed and in truth, in works. Verse 19, and by this we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, we've got to break off there now for lack of time. We'll pick this up in our next program or a future program. But if you want to understand more about faith and what kind of faith it takes for answered prayers and for salvation, then we invite you to request our free booklet, What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation, and our article, The Faith Once Delivered. And all you need to do is just dial us toll-free, 1-800-611-8080, and request our free booklet, What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation, and our article, The Faith Once Delivered. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080.
This program and the free literature we offer is made possible by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day and the Churches of God Outreach Ministries. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764. Again, that address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.